There we are. You ready, Brad?
I am.
Okay.
Good morning, I'm Randy Christman, Chairman of North Dakota Public Service Commission. It is about 10:02 a.m. on June 27, 2017. I call this regularly scheduled meeting of the North Dakota Public Service Commission to order. And I don't have any opening comments. Was it the MARC meeting, the Mid-American Regulatory Commissioners, earlier this week? And they did a great job of hosting it, but not as good as Commissioner Kalk and our staff did of hosting it in Bismarck last year, is I guess my only opening comment. Commissioner Crashes?
I don't have any opening comments either, other than good morning, everyone. And I guess I do have something real brief. I was at MARC as well and thought it was just a great experience. Was able to meet just a number of people across the industry, and it was really beneficial just to be able to sit down and visit with them and continue to learn more about the industry itself and how it will apply to the work we do here. So great meeting in Chicago.
Well, thank you both. I was not at MARC, but mostly because I knew Chicago could not compare to Bismarck. I mean, there's just not nearly as many attractions there. I was this last weekend and yesterday at an Idea Fest in Aspen, which I was invited to participate in as part of my Rodel Fellowship that I've been doing through the Aspen Institute. And that was quite an experience. Folks gathered in Aspen to talk about ideas. Literally, that's what it is.
What idea was that?
A Walter Isaacson, the head of the Aspen Institute. And they cover everything from healthcare to energy issues to why do people lie? And, I mean, the program was quite diverse, and it would have been really interesting to be able to stick around for a few more days. But I had exhausted my time away, so here I am. Was honored to be part of that discussion and glad to be back.
Good for you. We're glad to have you back. So we'll move to the consent calendar. There's one item on the consent calendar plus the minutes from the last meeting, so I move approval.
Second.
We have a motion and a second. Is there any further discussion? Since seeing none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
Those opposed? Motion is approved.
Okay, and moving on to the regular calendar, RC1, I move the commission approve revision number 33 to surface coal mining permit number NACT-9101 held by the Coteau Properties Company for the Freedom Mine to identify the next five-year coal removal areas and to update mining and reclamation plans for the next permit term. This revision also adds approximately 478 acres of land currently in permit NACT-9001 to the permit and converts the permit to an electronic format.
Second.
This motion and the next motion can be a little bit confusing. This is a revision. The next
echo. Is there something going on with that, Steve? We can't. Okay. Okay.
And by the way, for those listening, as well as the press that are here today, we had some malfunctioning electronic equipment that's been replaced, and now it's going to take probably a little bit of adjusting till that's all in order. So we just, of course, whoever's here can ask for a repeat or something like that. We hope that certainly the broadcast works, but this is our first time with some new equipment. So now this is the revision. The next one is the renewal. So there's key words here. But this revision identifies the next five-year coal removal areas and addresses several items requested by our Reclamation Division during the pre-renewal review of the permit. It updates the legal information, business entity compliance information, identification of interest and rights of entry, and the operations and reclamation plans for the next permit term. Baseline environmental resource information sections of the permit were updated to include information on about 478 acres of land currently in permit 9001, the adjacent permit, that is being added to this permit with this revision. Coteau applied for this revision. Since mining will continue in this permit area for many years, the pit layout and facilities map indicates the coal removal operations within this permit will continue beyond the 2035 year, and the extended mine plan map shows that mining may continue east of this existing permit area, which is currently the east end of the whole mine area. By the way, there's 10 permit areas within this one mine. The area being added to the permit is currently being used as a primary haul road, and coal was not mined from this area, nor is there any mining planned in the future. The revision application was subject to the public notice requirements. Coteau submitted the affidavits of publication for the required newspaper notices. We notified the appropriate agencies, the affected landowners, and the advisory committee members. We received no objections to this revision application. Evidence of adequate performance bond and liability insurance are currently on file, and I think this is not only a staggering but certainly very important number to keep in mind. Self and collateral bonds that total $146 million cover this and the other permits within just the Freedom Mine. So the Reclamation Division has completed its review of this revision and recommends that it be approved.
We have a motion and a second. Is there any further discussion? Sensing none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
Those opposed? Motion is approved.
Okay, RC2, I move the Commission approve renewal number 5 to surface coal mining permit number NACT-9101 held by the Coteau Properties Company for the Freedom Mine to extend the permit term another 5 years until June 30th, 2022.
Second.
So now we have revised it. This will renew it for the next 5 years. This permit number, which is 9101 again, covers all or portions of 10 sections in Mercer County, totaling approximately 8,427.5 acres. Coteau applied for this five-year renewal because the coal removal operations will continue for many years. Portions of this permit area are also used to support mining activities in another permit. The Coteau submitted the affidavits of publication of the newspaper notice. Again, we notified the appropriate agencies, the affected landowners, and the advisory committee members, and we received no objections to the renewal. And again, evidence of the bonds and liability insurance are on file. Again, that's that $146 million I mentioned in the previous motion. The Reclamation Division has completed its review of this application and again recommends that it be approved.
We have a motion and a second. Is there further discussion?
One thing I just am prompted to throw out here is one of the things we talked about quite extensively in Aspen was states versus federal authority. And there's a strong push among the group folks that were there to have more federal authority. And I made a strong case for states doing it better and doing it right and more efficiently. And I think this is one example of just that happening. This mine applied in February, and here four and a half months later, we've reviewed it, had public input opportunities, gone through all the requirements, and are here with the decision. And if that was the federal government, I have to believe the review would have taken longer and probably would have been less thorough. And so I think that it's a really, we need to keep reminding the public of the value of these programs and the way that states are doing it right. I think we should be proud of that work here and keep touting it.
It is an important point, and it kind of drives home something. You can start taking these things for granted sometimes, and we shouldn't. I visited with our director of reclamation, Dean Mose, about these, just clarifying in my mind where things are up there and how this came to be that there's 10 permit areas and they would like to merge some of those eventually. That was kind of a different historical reasons why they ended up with the multiple permits instead of just a couple. But the fact that our staff continues to work on some of these, this handful of mine permits in the state, you know, so knowledgeable about them and talking to Dean, you know, well, this is this way because of what happened in the late 90s and it moved this direction and there's the Hall Road and that's why it needs to be open and through this area there isn't any coal because that's that big wash area and, you know, just the intense knowledge you would never get with a federal staff that's, you know, monitoring mines in multiple states. And so we do it quickly and we do it well.
And they have that personal connection, too, because a lot of these folks live right near there or are personally connected and want to see that it's done right.
Is there any further discussion? All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Those opposed? Motion is approved.
Okay, in RC3, I move the commission issue the order lifting suspension and reinstating warehouse license in Direct Grain Incorporated, license number 1150, Winemere, North Dakota, suspension, case number GE-17-237.
Second.
On March 27th, we received a cancellation notice on Direct Grain's warehouse bond. The cancellation date and the bond was for June 29th. So a replacement bond was not timely noticed, and this license issued to Direct Grain was suspended effective May 31st. And then Direct Grain had until June 28th to procure and file an adequate bond or submit a written request for a hearing. If this seems kind of backwards, they had until June 29th, but we already suspended it the end of May. That's because what we don't want to have happening is these things overlapping and then having some producers selling grain right at the last minute. So actually, by law, we are to suspend their license a month before that bond is going to expire. And so if there's any layover, it will be covered in case that producer doesn't get paid. So it's all been done very appropriately. Now, just shortly before the deadline, by about a week, on June 20th, a reinstatement letter was received from Western Surety Company for a grain elevator warehouse bond. That bond remains in full force and effect with no lapse in coverage. I will just further clarify that this is a operation that is in large part an individual ag producer and buys from, I don't know if it's one or maybe just a couple of very closely associated neighbors there, and so they keep their license. And so they really weren't in a big hurry because they knew this one or two customer. Basically, they buy some grain as a convenience to one or two neighbors, not because they want to be in the grain business, really. And so they really weren't in a hurry, and there was a transition. I think there were a couple of family partners in this, and one retired or something, and so the names changed, and that's why the bonding was canceled. And it's not like this was a trouble spot. Yeah. They just weren't in any hurry to get it done because they weren't doing anything with their grain license at that time, but they will going forward, so now the bond's in place and everything is fine. So I point that out not to invade in their privacy things, but just to make sure that it's clear that we're not aware of any troubles going on in this situation.
We have a motion and a second. Is there any further discussion? Since seeing none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed? Motion is approved.
And that concludes my portfolio.
Am I next?
Commissioner Karashas.
Julie would be next.
We keep switching it around, and I've noticed sometimes I'm next, sometimes you. It doesn't matter to me, but we should probably decide.
We should
stick with it. So since I'm listed next on the agenda, I will happy to go next. I move the commission deem the applications complete and issue a notice of filing and public hearing in NSP Company 230 KV Transmission Line, McHenry and Ward Counties, citing application case number PU-17-102.
Need a second?
Second.
Okay. On March 13th of 2017, NSP, doing business as XL Energy, filed a consolidated application for a certificate of corridor compatibility and a route permit to construct approximately 20.5 miles of 230 kV transmission line and associated facilities from a proposed new substation in Ward County near Minot to an existing substation in McHenry County near Velva. We are going to have a public hearing on this application, and it is scheduled for August 18th at 11 a.m. at the Sleep Inn in Minot, Minot, North Dakota. Basically, XL, back in 2015, XL and Basin conducted a Minot load serving study jointly to identify the best solution for some low voltage and some overload conditions that they were seeing up there. That study determined the need for this new 230 kV line from McHenry substation to a new Magic City substation as the most effective solution. So this proposal basically is a 20-mile transmission line and a new substation construction in Minot, and then expansion of an existing substation in McHenry. And we did review this. They applied for a certificate of public convenience and necessity back last year, and we did approve that already for this project. So this now is the company coming forward to actually site this project and get a siting permit to construct the line. So we'll be having that hearing on August 18th in Minot to discuss that and hear from any members of the public, landowners, et cetera, that are interested or have any concerns about this proposal.
We have a motion and a second. Is there any further discussion? Sensing none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
Those opposed? Motion is approved.
Thank you, Darrell. I should add that this is a pretty substantial upgrade and increase in the Minot area. The existing lines and substation were built in the 1950s and early 60s, and they have been in use to entirely serve that area since that time. So this is a pretty substantial investment that NSP and Basin, although not the part that we'll be permitting, obviously, because we don't regulate them, will be making to improve the reliability and ensure that that community and that region is effectively served moving forward. So my next motion is I move the commission acknowledge cancellation of the June 28, 2017 public hearing due to a publication error in the EDF Renewable Development, Inc. Maricourt Wind Power Project citing application case number PU-08-932.
Second.
So this is something that we, I think I can speak on behalf of all three of us, we really don't like doing. We had a hearing scheduled for tomorrow in Ashley to take public comment and hear from the company on this application for the Maricourt Wind Project in that area. And to provide a little background, the law requires us to publish the notice two times in the newspaper. We've always viewed that to be two times in the legal notice section. We send out as a matter of business on all of our hearings, we submit a request for notice publication to the newspaper association, and they help us get it to the appropriate newspapers, and in that we list out the dates that we want it published. The Ashley newspaper failed to publish it the second time. So we did consider moving forward because they did, although they didn't publish it in the legal section a second time, they did do a full page front or a decent story on the front page with a map of the of this project and of the hearing. And so we considered viewing that as the second legal notice, and we felt, I think, from a common sense standpoint, that the public probably knew about this and had good notice. However, the company asked us to hold off on having the hearing just in the outside chance that somebody could view this as a technicality and object and could tangle up the whole thing in a kind of a legal technicality. So the company requested that we hold this hearing, reschedule the hearing and get the notice done exactly as it's required by the law. And so they have the greatest interest in their application, and they have the most to lose if something is done inappropriately. So we went ahead and accepted their request, and we'll be rescheduling this hearing in the admin portion of our meeting today.
We have a motion and a second. Is there any further discussion?
Just further highlight two things you said. One is, you know, our staff did get the request in. It was the publisher's mistake that in one of the papers that it didn't get in there. Secondly, to kind of commend the company, you said they had the most to lose if we'd have held this and then it got held up in some technicality. They have the most to lose this way, too, which, you know, is according to their recommendation. They're accepting that. But, A, it's going to delay their hearing and their whole timeline by however long it takes now to re-advertise and do the whole thing over again. But then also out of their citing fee dollars, these are additional costs that they will ultimately not get back whenever there's a refund of their citing fee dollars. So they have the most to lose this way too, but I kind of appreciate the fact that they took the real cautious approach to make sure, kind of as we have always done, to just make sure and do things right. And so at expense to themselves, they recommended that.
Mm-hmm. I do regret any inconvenience that it presents to those who had made plans to attend the hearing, though, and hope that the public in that community gets notice and understands and finds out about the next hearing so that they can make plans to attend if they're interested.
Is there any further discussion? Since seeing none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed? Motion is approved.
Now we'll go to Commissioner Crashes.
All right. Agenda number BK1. I move the Commission execute a contract with PA Consulting Group Incorporated for consulting services in Otter Tail Power Company, Advanced Prudence Astoria Project, application case number PU-17-140, Otter Tail Power Company, Advanced Prudence, Maricourt Project, application case number PU-17-141, and Otter Tail Power Company, 150 megawatt Maricourt Project, Public Convenience and Necessity, case number PU-17-143. As stated, this motion involves executing a contract with PA Consulting Group Incorporated in Otter Tail Power Company's Astoria and Maricourt projects. Both projects, which complement each other, address the 2021 retirement of the Otter Tail of Otter Tail Power's Hoot Lake Power Plant located in Fergus Falls, Minnesota. The overall project includes approximately a 250 megawatt natural gas-fired simple cycle combustion turbine to be constructed near the town of Astoria, South Dakota, and a 150 megawatt wind generation facility near Maricourt, North Dakota. Both components represent a two-part plan the company will use to meet customers' electrical needs. And again, drivers of the project include the retirement of the Hoot Lake plant, which is aging and would require significant upgrades to meet environmental compliance requirements, load growth forecasts, and the expiration of a series of capacity purchase agreements currently in place to bridge the gap until project completion by May of 2020. The company looked at quite a number of scenarios, 78, I believe, and the approach as described was determined to be the best, to be the least cost approach to supplying power to customers. And long-term ownership was also deemed to be the most prudent route instead of power purchase agreements. And one question that may come up is why Astoria, South Dakota, in terms of location for the gas plant. And the reasons for that include close proximity to the northern border pipeline, which can supply Bakken natural gas, also close proximity to the soon-to-be-completed CapEx 2020 Big Stone South Brookings 345-kilovolt transmission line. And then also, along the way, they did take a look at three different sites in North Dakota. And the real inhibiting factor on that was having to run a pipeline at a cost of $30 to $40 million just because of the length of the pipeline involved. So I know that a number of people were involved with trying to create a scenario where we could land the gas plant here in North Dakota. Construction costs of that plant are approximately $165 million. So it would have been a very nice economic development opportunity for the state, but at the end of the day, being right at the intersection of the pipeline in South Dakota, as well as the transmission line, led to the decision by Otter Tail to locate in South Dakota. But I do think it's a great opportunity to take a look at these projects. And while we don't work directly with economic development in that sense, in terms of coming up with incentives, there are a number of entities in North Dakota that obviously would be very interested in projects of that nature. So this one is moving forward as described, but I certainly think going forward there are just tremendous opportunities to continually look at these types of projects.
We have a motion and a second. Is there further discussion? Sensing none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Those opposed? Motion is approved.
Okay, next up is BK2. I move the commission close Northern State Power Company 2016 Electric Annual Report, case number PU-17-186.
Second.
Just a quick recap on that. Northern State's Power Company provides electric service to about 93,768 customers in North Dakota. Staff has reviewed the company's annual report filing for 2016. The company's return on equity was 9.15% in 2016, which is up from 8.15% in 2015. When considering the impact of weather, the rate of return would have been 9.6% if it were a normal year. The commission authorized a rate of return of 10.25% for 2016 and 2017 in the most recent case, PU-12-813, and with that in mind, the company under-earned by about $5 million this past year. Due to the factors mentioned, staff sees no reason to further investigate and recommends that the commission close the above-captioned case.
We have a motion and a second. Is there further discussion? Sensing none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed? Motion is approved.
Okay, and the last one for me is BK3. I move the commission assess a filing fee of $10,000 and issue a notice of opportunity for hearing in Northern State Power Company 2016 Power Purchase Agreement Costs Compliance Case Number PU-17-245. Okay, on June 21st, 2017, Northern States Power Company filed a compliance filing in accordance with the settlement agreement in case number PU-12-813, requiring the company to provide annually a list of new power purchase agreements less than 50 megawatts in size that were included in the company's fuel cost recovery rider during the previous year. This filing states that the North Dakota jurisdictional share of the costs associated with the two new purchase power agreements, both with the University of Minnesota, one is a combined heat and power project, and the other is a small wind project, were added to the fuel cost recovery rider in 2016. The PPAs add approximately 0.0012 per month to the bill for the average residential customer using 750 kilowatts. Staff will be reviewing the case and making a recommendation to the commission to ensure that these PPAs involve least cost resources.
We have a motion, a second. Is there any further discussion?
So what is, how many cents is that per month?
It's
less than a cent?
I think it equates to 1.4 cents per year.
Okay.
If you take that
by 12, scrutinizing
this. It's a very, very small amount to consumers' bills.
Is there any further discussion?
I will just make one point, though, because this does seem really small and almost irrelevant. Some might wonder why we're spending our time with this, but this is an area where the commission kind of saw some significant increases in the past, and they were sliding through on the fuel cost rider and not being looked at very closely. And so we added this requirement in a previous rate case settlement to require the company to come before us and present these so that some more sizable projects that have been added in the past are scrutinized and approved by the commission, and we have a chance to say, no, we don't think that that's prudent. So that's why we have to do this and are looking at this, and the company filed it as they're required to.
Correct. And there was a similar instance last year, and while the dollar amount was incredibly small, it did wind up being $120 per megawatt in terms of cost. So, we'll let staff take a look. And as Julie stated, as part of the last rate case, the terms that were presented or the commission came up with.
And I think the cost of the projects that had been added in without having careful scrutiny was about $5 million to rate base in North Dakota. So previously, these smaller projects can really add up.
Absolutely.
Is there any further discussion? Sensing none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Those opposed? Motion is approved.
Okay, that.
Mr. Chairman, could I go back to BK1 real quickly?
Mm-hmm.
That's the contract for the consultants. I just wanted to clarify that this is just a contract to hire the consultants to review the case, and that we haven't made any decisions on this at all. We're just looking at this and having the consultants go through it. And then we'll be holding our hearing. Have we set the hearing dates for this yet? When will that be? When are those? Is that September, Sarah? Or what's the hearing dates for these Otter Tail?
October.
Okay. Okay.
It's a Friday.
Stacy, you might want to go back and tell John that as well, Hankabin, because he might be writing about that for the Fargo area, just to clarify that that's when the hearing will be in. We can talk about that afterwards. Thank you. That's all for me, Brandon.
Okay. Okay, then just a couple of announcements to reemphasize what we've already talked about. The the formal hearing tomorrow on MeriCourt is postponed. This afternoon, we have informals for Otter Tail's environmental cost recovery. That's case PU-17-122. That's at 1:30. And then another informal on Highland Crude's Newtown expansion project up in Montreal County. That's case PU-15-416. That'll be following the previous one. The second one will start at 2:30. We have informals on Thursday at 9 o'clock on Whiting Oil and Gas's to transfer of site certificate to QEP Field Services. And then at 10:30 on MDU's general provision rate for excess flow valves. And then moving out into July, we have a formal hearing at 9 o'clock on July 14th on Oasis Midstream's Wild Basin Gas Plant up in McKenzie County. And on Monday and Tuesday, July 24th and 25th, Cinex's pipeline that runs from Sydney, Montana to Minot. On the 24th, that hearing will be at 10 a.m. In Minot at the Sleep Inn. And then on the 25th, it'll begin at 9 o'clock in Tioga at the Tioga City Hall. That's all the announcements that I have. We will stand in recess for questions from the press, and then we'll take a short break before our informal meeting, before our administrative meeting, I mean.
The Maricor project, I guess I'm not familiar with it, as far as, you know, the turbines it's going to be
Right, there's... Yeah, and I can get you some of that basic background, maybe just a project summary if you want in writing, Alyssa. That might be most helpful.
And then as far as, do they see this as being controversial in that area? Is that the reason why?
Well, we're seeing more and more public interest in the wind farms and wind farm input. And so I think all of them are somewhat controversial now. It just depends on the views of the neighbors and the participants versus the non-participants. And it's been a long time since we've had a hearing where nobody has expressed any concerns. Whether there's extra interest in this one, I'm not aware of this being particularly controversial. It hasn't, you know, bubbled up as one, you know, some of them out west where you heard about, you know, whole townships being against it. We haven't heard that kind of opposition, but I think every wind farm project these days has its people who are in favor and those who are opposed. And I would assume that this one is similar to that.
I wouldn't disagree, but I just want to add something a little different. In this particular case, we've already approved this particular wind farm in the past, and there was some opposition to it at the time, but as I recall, it wasn't a lot. There was certainly one landowner in the area who disliked it, and there was some concerns regarding some waterfowl. And as time has gone on, I think it was based on the map, it sort of looks like primarily over the waterfowl issue. The whole thing is sort of shifted some. So it's the same number of turbines and the same megawatts, I believe, as was previously approved. But while some of the turbines are pretty much the same, some have shifted kind of out of that waterfall area and are further south up to about a couple miles, I think it was, beyond the original approved area. And while it's the same landowners, it is shifted by about that far, and thus the additional hearing. But it is the same landowners as had a previous approval, so whatever that would tell you about expected support or opposition.
Okay. And then as far as the new lighting technology for the wind turbines, will that be on these newer projects, or will it still be a little while?
We're requiring that on all projects that we've permitted since last June. So, yeah, that's the same permit requirements will be added to this one for the lighting technology. And I believe they'll have until December of 2018 to have that lighting operational for all the newly permitted projects.
And then
that's why we're here, Alyssa.
Otter Tail, Astoria Project, and Maricourt's in there. I'm kind of confused as to, is that just going to be transferred to another company in 2020? Is that kind of what that?
No. Both the Maricourt Project and the Astoria, Maricourt being the wind project and Astoria being the gas project, they're designed to complement each other and replace the Hoot Lake facility that will have to be retired. I shouldn't say would have to be retired, but just due to environmental compliance upgrades that would be required to continue operating that plant. It's a coal-fired plant. They looked at retrofitting it to natural gas. They looked at upgrading it as a continuing coal-fired facility, but the costs prohibited going with that particular approach. So as they look at that plant being taken out of service in 2021, this is to begin the process of essentially replacing and also adding some additional capacity in terms of generation versus buying the energy for its customers on the open market, which without these two projects could be up to 31% would have to be purchased. So generating it from within is more cost-effective and most importantly cost-effective. It's the least cost solution for customers.
Just to qualify what Brian's saying, that's what the company's proposing, and that's what we'll be reviewing during our process and asking them questions and making sure that we come to the same conclusions that they have in their proposal. So today's action is just saying that we're hiring a consultant to review what they're proposing, and then we'll have a hearing and fully dig into all of what the company is suggesting and proposing to do and deciding if we think it's prudent. See, Alyssa, just one pitch I would make, and if there's any media listening, we have a hearing, an informal, on 10:30 on Thursday morning. It's not something that would probably jump out as, like, wow, this sounds like a great story idea, but it's about excess flow valves and the tariffs required to pay for them. But really what that is, it's a new safety requirement that PHMSA has required utilities to make available to customers, and so this MDU is proposing a way to charge customers for these if they want them. And so what we hope to do is provide information to the public about what is an excess flow valve. It's on their natural gas system, and what are the benefits of it, and what are the costs of it, and why might somebody be interested in purchasing one of those. And so we're having an informal on Thursday to get that information ourselves. The media is certainly welcome to come, but we'll probably then take that information and try to spit it out again so that the public has more context to some of the stuffers that they might be receiving in their bills, and just in general, what is this and how might it benefit them, and it, just so that they can really evaluate whether they're interested or not. That's Thursday at 10:30. So it might be worth, you know, down the road. It's just a possible story idea of something new that's going to be available, and it's a safety device.
That would be one where they might break into previously scheduled programming for your
live broadcast. Get the satellite truck out here. Yeah. Okay. Thank you.
You're welcome to stay, but we'll break here and reconvene in about 3 minutes.